Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we welcome your presence through the Holy Spirit this morning, and we beseech you to be kind to us by revealing your word, Lord, in a definitive manner which we cannot have outside of yourself, even though a prophet brought it. Because, Lord, we know except those are the elect that see that have been renewed by the Holy Spirit, we are not able to receive. We pray, Lord, believing that we are, that you help us now. And we know, Lord, it's something like just putting ourselves out in your hands, which indeed it really is a matter of life and death. Live, die, sink, or swim, Father, because we don't want to be off the word. We want to believe it, and we want to understand wherein we stand, if that is possible. We know that some things will remain mysterious to us until it's after the fact, and we know it'll soon be after the fact concerning the resurrection, the glorious change to immortality, the catching up, and the actual participating in the second coming, meeting you in the air, and then wedding supper and all those things contingent to it. But Lord, we know that there are certain things that are given to us here that belong to us, even as the prophet Moses said, the secret things belong unto the Lord our God, but the word belongs unto us, that word given to us into 1,000 generations. And we believe at the end time there is a clarification that we are heir to, and we pray that what is to be ours will be given us. We ask for your help, Lord, knowing that without you we can do nothing, even as the prophet said, anybody's hands can open the book. But only you, Lord, can truly open the words in the book, revealing them to us. We ask these mercies in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Now, last night we were discussing a letter that a brother wrote me. And he was attempting to find information which would be valuable to him as one who believes in Brother Branham's message. And, of course, he's where we all are. There are certain things that we certainly are able to grasp hold of and believe with all of our hearts, just bank on it as vindicated word. But some of the nuances or some of those little areas within the mysteries remain mysterious to us, even as Brother Branham quoting Schofield and others of that particular ilk mentioned that always there will be an element remaining within the mystery. And, of course, if you simply take that back to the Godhead, that in itself is very, very difficult. Even as Brother Branham said, I know what I'm saying, but he said, perhaps you're not getting it because I can't express it. And, of course, to me, that's always been kind of like an understatement, because actually you'll find him as it many times, as it were, taking the shortcut, which ends up as Jesus only, rather than to seeing the whole picture that he taught us, particularly as he went into such as, who is this Melchizedek? Now, the boy meant talking here that he believes the message with all his heart, and that the three following steps he believes are extant, and he's part of it. Repent, number one, be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. He didn't use the word Lord in there, but it's all right. We just put it all together. And third, receive the Holy Spirit, whereby you're sealed unto the day of your redemption. And he says in here, in the course of my studies, I've listened to Brother Branham's Seven Seal series, believe it, and the rest of his ministry, that's a message with all my heart, is to be the truth. I'm somewhat puzzled the Seven Seal message, seeking to find out more about this mysterious seal and a half-hour silence which followed, which Brother Branham himself was under and unable to elaborate on. See, there's where he's making his mistake there, because I think he's been listening to too many people who say the seventh seal was not open, and we simply do not know it. That, of course, is not true, because if the seventh seal were not open, and there's seven seals on the back of the scrolls, which are scrolls wound up, then you'd say, well, I can see this far and no further. That's not right. The scroll would still be tied up if you had that seventh seal was not broken. And remember, Brother Branham categorically states it's broken, and he says, who broke it? And the Lamb broke it. So the seventh seal has been opened, but there is a great deal of mystery still retained in it is no great problem, because as Brother Branham warned us, there would be an element of mystery remaining regardless of what mystery has been broken to us. Now, I have found that within the message today there appears to be a split in some of the fundamental teachings. That's a mild way of putting it. Mostly and particularly is the fact that some feel that 1963 marked a dispensational change and which precipitated the coming or the parousia of the Lord. Now you see, there again the cart's before the horse. It's actually the Lord himself shall descend with the shout. That is the actual parousia, the presence, and it's not only the presence, but it's the presence in the sense of the ultimate, which presence began back in 1933 at the river, Ohio River, down at the foot of Spring Street in Jeffersonville, on June the 11th, as the 17th person with convert was being baptized. And that was an actual ring or rainbow, actually came down as a ring and stood above the prophet, and he knowing what, like I guess could have been a rushing wind to it, a roar, I don't know, but I know he told the people to bow their heads, close their eyes, and the Spirit of God spoke through him, telling the people, as John the Baptist foreran the first coming, so your message will forerun the second coming. And that was the Lord coming at that particular time. But you notice, Brother Branham, in talking of the time of Luther, Wesley, and the Seven Church Age Messenger, he brought us to the point where the church had been lying in the ground for that roughly 1,000 years, the same as Christ had, now was coming back in a spiritual resurrection, and he said Christ coming more and more into the church until he assumes headship. And so what you're looking at here is the actual time from there, that cloud of angels, the picture is taken there with Christ in there, Brother Branham also being caught up as Seven Church Age Messenger. You notice that from that time on, Brother Branham said, headship is here, headship has come. And you remember that the actual headship of the church is Christ. Now, we're not talking of the bodily form, we're talking of the spiritual. And remember, Christ himself has a head, which is God. We'll go into that shortly. But the idea here is that there is the change that was precipitated at the very parousia of the presence of Almighty God himself. And you can see that in the book of Revelation, the 10th chapter. And it tells you right there, it says here in the 4th verse, when the 7 thunders uttered their voices, I was about to write and heard a voice in heaven saying unto me, seal up those things which the 7 thunders uttered and write them not. And then it says, but in the days of the voice of the 7th messenger. What is the 7th messenger? 7th church age messenger. That because this is written concerning the sevens, and God does everything in the sevens, and the finishing up is under the 7th church age with the 7th messenger. And it says, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished. In other words, perfect, that nothing added to it, nothing taken from it, it's completely whole, it's exactly as God wants it, and there's nothing anybody's going to do about it. Now, back in the days of Paul, they did plenty about it. They actually went into idolatry, and he called it spiritual fornication. He said, you've been deceived. Even as Eve was deceived, he said, so your minds have been contaminated. And so, therefore, the pure word of God was being contaminated even at the time of Paul, and he warned it was going to get worse and worse and worse. Now, if they're off target 2,000 years ago, how much off target are they today? So it says, in the days of the voice of the 7th church age messenger, the mystery of God should be finished, to be absolutely perfect, back to its original form as Paul gave it, no word added, no word taken from it, as God had declared the good news of the gospel by his servants, the prophets. So there's going to have to be somebody the caliber of Paul, have a confrontation with Jehovah, that's Jesus, I'm Jesus, I'm Jehovah's Savior. God himself said, I am Savior, there's none beside me. He came down to do it in human flesh. Now he comes back at the end, and he says, here now, this is going to be completely finished. Now, I read 4 and 10 together on purpose, 7 together on purpose, because you then go to Revelation 22 and 10. Now, at the end of the book, it says, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is in hand. So therefore, between Revelation 10 and 4, which was sealed up in Revelation 22 and 10, it has to be opened. And where it says seal it up, it says it's opened, and don't you dare seal it. Then how can anybody, if these seven books were open, how can anybody, Branhamite or anybody, declare the book to be sealed? Somebody's off track. Now it's open. You can't seal it. Now what happens when the book is unsealed? He says the time is at hand. So what time is at hand? The time is at hand, literally, for the bride to be taken plumb out and everybody else left in. And that puts the foolish virgin, as Brother Branham declared in another place, right with the serpent seed. See? They're categorized now as one lump. And remember, the foolish virgin will die. And Brother Branham says the church is purged, Israel's purged, the world is, the earth is purged. Three purgings under the sixth seal. Now the sixth seal has already started. See? And literally under that, you're going to have the election, the bringing in the 144,000, all the cataclysms. So, it's under the seventh church age that the seventh seal is broken, that takes in the trumpets, the vials, and everything else that Brother Branham said runs its complete course and shoots off like a Roman candle into eternity. So therefore you understand the seventh seal is more revelatory than anything else. And you're dealing with the principal factor of a prophet giving us this word. Now the just is unjust, and the filthy is filthy, the holy is holy. And notice, behold, I come quickly, my reward is with me to give every man according to his work shall be. I'm Alpha and Omega. I'm the one that was in the garden. And I'm the one that's here now. Now remember, Brother Branham categorically declared, he said, when the son fell into sin, by virtue of following his wife, playing Savior, see, he said God himself came down. He could not trust an angel or a cherubim or a messenger. He himself came down. So today, with the book of redemption open in his hand, now, you've got to believe it because the prophet said it's vindicated. I believe it with all my heart. There's no problem there. Now, notice, blessed are they who wash their robes. See, not do his commandments. If you're stuck with doing his commandments, I'm going to say, what commandment then takes you away from God, the one you didn't keep? No man ever lived the word, and no man ever will live the word outside of Jesus Christ. Now, you show me somebody. And I'll show you a liar. And I'll show you a guy that died. Jesus didn't die. He gave his life. He said, no man can take my life. I lay it down. So therefore, in the accepted sense, he did not die. Listen, Jesus being made a sin for us, he did not become sin. He became a sin offering because the word in the Greek for sin offering is propitiation. And it means just the same as sin and sin offering. So Jesus Christ thoroughly identified himself with the sinner and became a sin offering. Now notice, he said, I'm Alpha and Omega, the beginning and end, the first and the last. So he was there in the garden. Now what happened in the garden? Adam was excluded from immortality. See? And he said here, they that wash their robes may have the right to the tree of life. And Adam could not get to it. So now who is here? The one who can take us to the tree of life himself, giving us immortality. Now remember, Adam could not partake. Immortality was already in the Word. It was there to be partaken of. And had he not sinned, he'd have gone on and on in a certain area of sanctification, more and more and more. See, he got to the place, he named all the animals. That was great. He could take care of this and take care of that. But hey, he never actually really got to where he controlled the world. He was given that privilege. This is yours. Come on, take care of it, control it. And he did it by the Holy Ghost. But he only got to the stage of naming the animals. And when he got finished, there was no helpmeet for him, which was one of his own species. So God gave him Eve in order to multiply himself, to reproduce himself. So it's a matter then of propagation. Okay, at that particular time, Adam could not partake of the tree of life. See? Now he was in sin and he couldn't do it. But at the end time, even though we are in sin, it is now time for that propitiation, for that which was submitted to God by Jesus Christ for us, to go into effect. That he that believeth on me shall never perish. You believe this? Yes, but I can only believe it in the hour where they won't perish, which is with the opening of the seals. You understand what I'm saying? So, all right. Then every mystery is ended as far as the gospel is concerned under the preaching of this man, this message. You say, what about the Jews? It's the same message that goes to the Jews. It's the same seventh seal. He covered it. He's the end of the vials. It's the end of the trumpets. Are you bugged out? Huh? Well, you understand what I'm saying? I'm just telling you what I read last night. I can't lay my hand on it. Here I do, and I don't have a computer here, and if I did, I couldn't work it, so forget it. Maybe I can find it. All right. I think I found it. Now he said here, we must remember that this seventh seal is the end of time of all things. That's right. The things written in the seventh seal book, sealed up of the plan of redemption from before the foundation of the world. Ha ha. It every bit ends. It is the end. It's the end of the struggling world. When does it stop struggling? Well, he said so. Well, you say, Brother Brown's just shooting off a little smoke. Oh, interesting. It's the end of struggling nature. It's the end of everything. It's the end of the trumpets. That belongs under the sixth seal of Israel. Isn't that why Brother Branham couldn't preach it? It's the end of the vials. Who are they poured out upon? It's the end of the earth. It's the end of time. Time runs out. The Bible says so. Now people wonder about that. You know how time runs out in this hour? Because it blends with eternity. And it's being phased out like the Roman candle. From this point on, there is one set direction and end, and that is New Jerusalem. The heavenly city coming down from a new heaven to a new earth. So what is this going on? That's what's going on. So, if you're talking about a dispensational change, that's what we're talking about. And it's not a dispensational change, my brother, my sister. It is simply the word of the God coming to pass. Amen. That's the way to put it. Not some hog washed by a bunch of pedantic individuals that came out of the face of a man. Paul himself called that a bunch of manure, and I don't see why I should call it any less. Of course, you know I don't. Why should I? Now it says here, at this particular time, they may have the right to the tree of life. Adam never had it. Now listen, he had the right according to the plan and purpose of God and predestination, which was the ultimate. But he didn't have it at that time. Of course not. He was a candidate for it, but he blew it. Why do you think we're going to the millennium for 1,000 years? To learn something. And at the end of the 1,000 years, Brother Branham said, he said, the flames are going to go 1,000 miles high and burn every germ. And yesterday I said, and every mosquito too, and I'll hold some of them. Talk about being vindictive. I never offered myself as a Red Cross blood bank to a bunch of mosquitoes. Them and bed bugs. Gee. Swell up, scratch, scratch. I don't expect to see another mosquito. If I do, you'll have his proboscis broken off. Ha!
I'm vindictive. If you don't think I am, the mosquitoes would come on the screen and poke their noses in, and I'd take my little, you know, little hair puller tweezer, I'd grab them by the nose and pull the nose off. Say, go on now. See, Brother Vail, you're sadistic. Never said I wasn't. I'm telling you. You see what I'm driving at? What Brother Branham said, he gave us the key. The millennium is a further place of sanctification, of growing up into Christ. And what we have here is the basic to the whole thing. Do you realize that this time we're crowned by love, God Himself has come down to enhance it and to bring it to pass? Oh, come on. If you turn aside from this word, Rhema Logos, you're in trouble. And it says, may enter into the gates to the city. What city? Oh, it takes you right from immortality in 1,000 years right to the city itself where the pillar of fire is above the throne, the Lamb is on the throne, the bride is there, and all the glory to be brought in. See what you're looking at. You are looking at not dispensations, you're looking at roles and processes within the word of the roles portraying that word and coming to a consummation. And he just folds a book here and drops it in our lap. So, all right. That takes care of that. What is 1963? 1963 is the breaking of the seals where God Himself actually stepped into the church's headship, revealing the mysteries, bringing about those things in this hour which we must have to bring us to immortality. Even previous to that will be the opening of the grace. Now, if you want to understand more about it, you simply go over here to the book of Ephesians. And Brother Branham brought this out in Daniel 70th week. Now, Paul mentions here that the people full of the Holy Ghost, there was going to come a day that the God of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom, revelation, the knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, you may know what's the hope of His calling, the riches of His glory, the inheritance of the saints, the exceeding greatness of power to us who believe according to the work of the mighty power which He wrought in Christ who raised from the dead. It tells you right there the Spirit of God is going to come into the church and is going to bring about a resurrection, but previous to it, it is going to bring about a fountain of knowledge from God Himself. God Himself revealing Himself. Now, how does He do it? See, there's where the minds get all fogged up and these big mouth guys come around and they try to make you think of it by some education. Well, forget it. God never did reveal Himself to education. The Apostle Paul cut that to ribbons. He said, my education was manure. Bunch of dungheads. If you want to know what your brain's producing, I could say some very fruitful things about that, but I won't bother. If you can't figure them out yourself, what I'm thinking of, you're dead. You got no sense of humor, no nothing. You stand back and laugh at yourself after what Paul said. Poet, manure. I knew something stunk. Something rotten in Denmark? No, it's up here. That's what God thinks. Not even fit to step in. If you're lucky, it could go back to the soil. That's what it does. The body goes back to soil. So that's what God thinks. So don't try to think any better. God then made another statement. He called it vomit. Ooh, love to do your vomit. That's your creeds and dogmas. You want to stick with your old line of thinking? This kid's got to bust out of it. He's busted out of it to a great degree, but he has a few fundamental expressions, which, of course, they'll go away. And he's a fine boy. I've got no problem there. I'm just laying this on the line here. The Prussia, no, it doesn't precipitate the Prussia. The Prussia precipitates it. If it weren't for His presence, it wouldn't be open. Now, this meaning that the church is now in the rapture cycle, absolutely. And the Holy Spirit presence has been replaced by God the Father's presence, Logos, which occurs before we meet Jesus in the air at the time of the rapture. Now, that's that's basically correct. Now, let's just take a peek at this thought here. We're talking about God, we're talking about Father. Now, before God could be God, He would have to be an object, which means he's an object of worship. He would have to have something there to worship him. All right. Now, before there was a speck of stardust, before there was anything except God dwelling in gross darkness, which means the impenetrable God, nothing to see, no anybody could figure it, if there were somebody there to figure it. The only figure would be God himself, and any configuration would come from God according to the figure. Brother Branham said a light form. Now, the light forming wasn't created. It would have to form from what was already there. And remember, the Hebrew for create and form are two different words, and make is also. So we got to be careful. So Brother Branham saying the light formed, I take it to mean exactly the scripture. Then what did it form from? It tells you in the book of Hebrews exactly what Brother Branham said. What is the difference between God and Jesus? There isn't any difference except a time element. One had a beginning. Now that was not flesh. That was not molecules. Corpuscles. You're going back. Now let's read it. In the book of Hebrews. See, Brother Branham makes one succinct statement that just, hey, it just puts the cap on the climax. Nobody else would do it better. It says here, who in last days has spoken unto us in Son. See, in Son. Not in his Son, but in Son. Actually, in God manifesting his Son. Now, that is a dispensation in that particular sense. And Brother Branham would use it, a dispensation. By all whom also he appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the ages, who being the effulgence, the outraying of his glory, the expression of his substance. Only one of a kind, only begotten Son, who is able to say, restore to me, give me back the glory I had with you in the beginning, which says in the Word, being in the form of God, he thought it not a thing to be grasped and retained, be equal with God, to stay exactly as he was, because the Jews understood, if you're a son, you're equal with God. The rights of the firstborn, he laid it aside. Now, what I'm trying to get back to is this. In the beginning, God. Why does it say in the beginning, God? Because at that particular time, there was, Jesus came forth as the Son. When they wanted to worship him, he said, worship God. You know, directed it right back. That's the one. That is the Father. Creator. At that time, he was the Father. He didn't create anything. He allowed the creation all to come through Jesus. Now, what I'm trying to say is this. The Spirit of God moved upon the face of the deep. Now, why does it say that? Why does it not simply say the Spirit moved upon the face of the deep? Because we know positively that the book of Genesis was written by a man, and having written it, it was in a relationship to the people whose God he was to them. So therefore, he is saying, the God that you are worshiping, the God that made us, our God is Spirit. And it was in that particular form that he moved upon the face of the water. Now, from that point on, you will find everything is set in order for these human beings that came from Adam, and then also from the serpent. Heaven forbid we should not tell the whole truth. They must now look toward him who is God. It is not as though there were two spirits, by any stretch of the imagination. There is one God who is Spirit. And in his dynamic roles, he does many things, of which he appears in, as Brother Branham said, he's judge in one place, he's a prophet in another place, he's his own prophet, he's came as Melchizedek, many, many roles that he borrowed. He appeared as a cloud, he appeared as a water, he appeared as a rock, as a whirlwind, many, many ways. So, we're looking at this thought here then. Now, the meaning of now in the church, the rapture cycle, the Holy Spirit presence has been replaced by God the Father. No, that is not true. Holy Spirit is Holy Spirit, it is the Father. You say, how do you know? Because it tells you in the Gospels. This one born of you is the Son of God, and the Spirit shall come upon you. As Brother Branham said, any woman can have sons by two different men, but there's no such a thing as a son having two different fathers. So make up your mind. Is God his Father? Is the Holy Spirit his Father? The answer is God, who is Holy Spirit, is his Father. That's just plain understanding. So what you're looking at here, in this particular instance, as Brother Branham said, just think. The same pillar of fire that came to Paul to bring the word is now here revealing the word. And what did that pillar of fire say to Paul? I am Jehovah's Savior. He didn't say that I'm Jesus sitting on the throne. I'm that one. He said, why do you persecute me? Now, what was the persecution all about? The persecution was all about the fact that God ordained within himself that he come down and inhabit a human form, the becoming God. God creating himself in the form of human flesh. Started way back there at the time of Adam. Predated that by actually the light forming. God manifesting himself. God bringing his family to birth and bringing out. So what you're looking at here is actually found over here in the book of Revelation. And in the fifth chapter, I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside, sealed with seven seals. Now, I saw a strong angel proclaim with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? And no man in heaven. Now notice it's going to take a man. No man in earth, no man under the earth was able to open the book. In fact, nothing was able to do it, but they're looking for a man. And I went much because no man was found worthy to open and read the book. See, there's no man worthy. Nobody could live it. Nobody was the Word, all of the Word. Adam wasn't. Only one, that's Jesus. God poured into him, bodily. Now, I went much. Now, one of the elders said, weep not, behold the Lion, the tribe of Judah, the root of David. And there's something right there. Root and offspring of David? How can this be the Father and Son at the same time? The Father dwelleth in me, doeth the works. Yet at the same time, God created all things by Christ Jesus. Seeing your picture, hath prevailed to open the book and loose the seals of it. Now notice it says, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David. David has a root, then David is the blossom. Whatever came out, whatever David came from, had to be from God. That's why he's a man after God's own heart. Here's the one now that came through the tribe of David. So what is he talking about? He's talking about the Father within the Son. God coming down the River Jordan. See? Prevailed, he's going to open the book. And behold, and remember, lion goes back to the first stage. Lion is where the word came forth in absolute power. Vindicated power. And I beheld, lo, in the midst of the throne, in the midst of the elder stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes and so on, seven spirits. And he took the book from the right hand him that sat upon the throne, and of course he ripped the seals off and handed the book back to the Father. Now watch what happens. In verse chapter 10, 1, I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with the cloud, rainbow upon his head, face were the sun, and so on. And he had in his hand a little book open, he set his right foot upon sea, and the left upon the earth. So the same one that was in Revelation 5 and 1 is the same one that came down in Revelation 10 and 1, and it is absolutely not the one who was able to open the seals. He wasn't able to, that's a different one. The one that opened the seals, Brother Branham said, truly, is the one that climbed upon the Father's throne. Because in chapter 3, it says, here, to him that overcometh, I'll grant to sit with me in my throne as I overcame and sat down on my Father, in his throne. So you see, the one that came down here is the one that was John saw after the bride was taken up. He said, it's all over for the church ages now. The bride is caught up. Here the scene is in heaven. And what do you see in heaven? You see in heaven here, the one sitting upon the throne, chapter 5, and the one that came down, they are identical. Who is it? It is certainly not the man, Christ Jesus. It is not he. Who is it? It's God himself. And you'll find here, that's what Paul says in the book of Ephesians, which is spirit. God comes down himself in order to reveal himself and to make himself known to the people. Now, let's go back to Revelation chapter 1. And in here, this is the revelation of Jesus that God gave unto him to show unto his servant that things will shortly come to pass. Now, God is revealing himself absolutely as to his Godhead. He is working within the Godhead, within the people, everything else. And going up to the fourth verse, John to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace, and so on, from the spirits before the throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is a faithful witness, the first begotten of the dead, the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to him be glory and dominion forevermore. Behold, he cometh with the clouds, every eye shall see him. They also which pierced him, and the kings of the earth shall wail because of him. I am Alpha and Omega, beginning and end, and then so on. You'll notice right in here that you have the picture of the literal coming of of Jesus Christ himself, where Brother Branham said that spirit that's in our midst becomes incarnate to his crown and king and king and lord of lords and so on. Now, we're going on down here, though, to the place where the voice speaks to him. He turned to see the voice, and notice the voice is as a trumpet. In the days of the seventh church age messenger, when he shall begin to sound. Definitely there is the voice of one. Brother Branham said, a trumpet calls to battle. Now, we just leave that sit because that's not important. But what is important, he said, I turned and saw seven golden candlesticks, and in the midst of seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with the garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. Now, what we're looking at here in my understanding is simply this. You are not looking at the Lord Jesus Christ himself. You are not looking at the man. Now, Brother Branham asked Jack Moore, what do you think it is? He said, that's Christ in his glorified form. And Brother Branham said it did not cut with him at all. And so he prayed to the Lord, and the Lord came back with the answer, this is the judge. This is the judge. Now, we're understanding then we are seeing the judge. Now watch the wording. One like unto the Son of Man. They tell me the actual Greek does not say one like unto the Son of Man, but one like unto a Son of Man. Okay, this is the one that he sees in the midst of the church. Now, with that in mind, we'll take 1 Thessalonians, the fourth chapter, because all of these come together. There's no way you can separate them. Verse 16, the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, the trumpet of God. The dead in Christ shall rise first. Now, Brother Branham said Jesus does all three in descending. And he's not talking about the man, Christ Jesus. He's talking about Jehovah himself. Why? Because only God can raise the dead. That's his relationship to man in Jehovah complex titles. So, all right, we see him there, the one who has come on down. Now, with that, we are going to turn to the book of Luke and the 17th chapter. We're going to read. And it says here in the 17th chapter, verse 20, when he was the man of the Pharisees, when the kingdom of God should come, he answered and said, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation. He didn't say it didn't come. It said it came, but nobody could see it. Neither shall they say, lo here, lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is in the midst of you. The word within would have a double meaning there. Brother Branham told us that all scripture has a double compound meaning. And one of the meanings definitely is in the midst of you, and one is within you. So therefore, the acknowledgement would be the kingdom of God in you is responding to the kingdom of God in the midst of you, and you would be the only ones that could see it because you are already a part of that kingdom. And that's the truth. You see the compound meaning. There's no way you get away from it. Only the elect can see it. If you came from God and you're a part of God, you're going to see it. If you're not, you won't. Then he tells the disciples concerning this very thing he's talking about. He said, disciples, the days will come you shall desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man. You'll not see it. And they shall say to you, see here, or see there, going on after and follow them. It's no use. Because you can't put your finger on it. There's no place where you know you're going to meet or he's going to meet you. Now notice what the secret is. For as lightning that lighteth out of one part of heaven shines to the other part of heaven, so shall the Son of Man be in his day. And Brother Branham categorically said, the same light that rose in the east comes to the west. And he tells you what it is. It is revelation. Because it's got to be, because it says here, low there, there's no use running because you can't see it when you're looking for it. The Son of Man doesn't reveal himself, you're out of luck. You say, I don't like that kind of a God. Well, that's fine by me. You don't have to like him. No problem. God's God. If he can't do what he wants, he's not God. He's got to listen to you and me. He's not God. We're God. You see what happens when you begin letting your own thinking take over? You can't do it. Now listen. But first he must suffer things, many things, and be rejected of this generation. Now the word generation does not simply mean the people at that time. It means the peculiar kind of people. And they can go on for thousands of years and be the same generation. Why? Because generation means beginning. And what you begin, you spawn and spawn and spawn and spawn from the beginning. And this was a mixed multitude. Serpent seed and God knows what else. Three kinds of believers. And I said, this is going to go on and on. Now watch. Now you're going to pinpoint it. So what group? This bunch that goes on and on and on. From the ark. Only one perfect man left Noah, he died. As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the Son of Man. Now he saw one like unto the Son of Man in the seven golden candlesticks. Right? And remember, that real Son of Man that stood up there, that said, the Father is in me and I am in him and he doeth the works. He took the book from the Father's hand, ripped the seals off, handed it back, climbed on the throne. That one came down and was on the throne. And John turned around and saw one like a Son of Man. Now what Son of Man? Vindicated prophet. And in Matthew 12, he tells you he's got to do for the Gentiles what he did for Israel. Tells you. Only this time he doesn't raise his voice in the street because he's not a human body to do it. God manifests in human flesh at the end time as in his prophet and in the bride. Now the prophet does it, the hand does it, the bride does it. Now they ate, they drank, and so on. So what you're looking at here is what Revelation tells you. When John turned, he saw that one. See? Now, in the third church age, he said, behold, I stand at your door and knock. And if any man will listen to me and open the door, I can sup with him and he with me. Now, to him that overcometh, overcomes what? The inertia to open the door. The inertia to listen to him. How many Israel listened to him? For the ages they... barely a handful listen. So don't think, how many listen to Paul? Barely a handful. Oh, say, great crowd, great crowd. Oh, shut up, there were billions out there. Drop in the bucket. A gnat in your eyeball. Less than a gnat. Wasn't a camel. Now, to him that overcometh, will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and sat down with my Father in his throne. Now he's telling you, at that particular time, he's sitting on the Father's throne. What are we listening to? We're listening then to God, not in the form of that Son that came down and died upon Calvary. We're listening now to the days of the Son of Man, which is God once more in the role of Son of Man, where he's doing the works. You follow what I'm saying? Because that's what is taking place here. Now he's saying, if you listen to me, we'll have fellowship. And in listening to me in fellowship, you will be an overcomer. What are you going to overcome? The world, the flesh, and the devil. Where did it all start? Off the Word. So how are you going to overcome? You can only overcome by the Word of God. They overcame the Antichrist by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. And what is their testimony? Their testimony is the eating and drinking with Christ. And Brother Branham spoke on spiritual food in due season, which was the message, which only the Holy Ghost can come by. So here you see your picture. We have God Himself, who is Holy Spirit, has come down at the end time. And He's done exactly what He did through Jesus Christ in the flesh in the days of Israel. And He's brought the message. Now, what is the message to the church age that you've got to overcome? Okay, here's what it is. You've got to recognize, because these things set the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. Now, this is the Alpha who says, I'm the Omega. And notice, this is the Alpha, beginning of the creation of God. And it's the end time message, so therefore it goes to Revelation 22 again. I am Alpha and Omega. Hey, what do you mean? It started with nothing but the Holy Ghost, and it ends with nothing but the Holy Ghost. It starts with God, it ends with nothing but God. And notice He's the Amen. He's the truth. He's the finisher. I know thy works, thou art neither cold nor hot. I would you were cold or hot. Now you listen to the people today. They're red hot to get the gospel out. But it's a Trinitarian gospel. It's a lie from the devil. Now, keep reading. So then, because thou art lukewarm, neither cold or hot, I spew out of my mouth. Everybody wants to be red hot, but their red hot is in the wrong manner. And the actual truth is they're only lukewarm and don't even know it. See, why are they lukewarm? Because they've got an admixture of truth. Because thou hast, now watch, I am increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not they're wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. How can a person that's wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked go out there and do anything for the world? Now, I count you to buy me gold tried in the fire. You don't have it. You may be rich. You haven't got it. You don't have the true gold. What is the true gold? Because you are not born a corruptible seed. You are not redeemed with corruptible things, but by the precious blood of Jesus. It tells you right here they don't have the blood, but they think they got the blood. Come on, read Peter. Put your Bible together. The Bible doesn't run in 15,000 directions. I told you, once you see fire, that's at the end time. Once you see blood, everything, gold and everything else refers, falls right back on it. See, we run in Scripture. We run in doctrine. Doctrine that runs in straight lines. So, all right, I count you to buy me gold tried in the fire. You may be rich, white raiment, that you may be clothed. Now, what's gold tried in the fire? You get it right down to the to the truth of the matter is, you see how God puts His own word to the test, puts His own blood to the test. He puts it by revelation, by the prophet. You might not have caught that, but it's true. The shame of thy nakedness do not appear. Anoint thine eye with thy salve, you may see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, to change your mind. Now listen, that's the message that He brings to the end time and tells you on these conditions of your repentance, because you are wretched, miserable, naked, and blind. He's talking to the church now. The elect are in there. When they hear that, they come out and sup with Him. Those are the ones that will sit with Him in His throne. They've always been the overcomer. And remember, the blood of the Lamb has nothing to do with any word but the Word of God. Because grace and truth came by Jesus Christ, and you can never separate grace from truth. Go to John 3, 16, 17, 18, you'll find it. Why do people sin remain? Because they won't come to the light. Why does the world grow in darkness? Does light come from the east, came to the west? They won't take it. and that which makes manifest his light. And it was proven absolutely by what nature this Spirit is amongst us, by the works that he did, which are the same works that Jesus did when he was here in the flesh, because God was in him. Then what was in William Branham? What is in this day? Now, you cannot fellowship with him in any other way, neither can you overcome. Now, let's go back again to the tree of life. All right, it says here, blessed are they that wash their garments. What do you mean, wash their garments? Wash their mind of all the crud that's in there. Get rid of all the manure that's in there by denominational teaching and doctrines and all that hogwash. Get rid of it. Boot it out. Let this mind be which was in Christ Jesus, who thought it not a prize to be grasped and retained. Get your thinking down to where it's the thinking of God through the prophet, not that junk that you've been inseminated with. Hardly anybody in this message can talk Brother Branham's language. He won't let your thinking go. I learned that before he died. He had me over a barrel. I knew I wasn't thinking what he was thinking. I just thought I was. You think you've got the thoughts of God, and don't, you're in trouble. See, that's why Rhema and Logos is one and the same. If you've got real Rhema, you'll have real Logos, real explanation, real delineation, real understanding. See, now he says right here, they may have the right to the tree of life and enter into the gates through the city, for without are dogs, that's male prostitutes, and boy, have we got them today, and sorcerers and whoremongers and sorcerers, that's the apothecary. Your drug crowd. They're using drugs to expand your minds. Huh, they had a mind to expand. Idolaters, whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. That's part of the devil's gang. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel, my messenger, to testify these things in the churches. Notice, I am the root and offspring of David, the bright and the shining star. Take that back to the book of Peter, and you'll find that is this hour in which we live, of which they had a taste of on Mount Transfiguration. This is my beloved son, hear him. An epiphany. Take it back there. You'll see it. Rises in your heart. In other words, this hour is greater even than that hour. That hour didn't bring forth immortality in a group of people standing there. Just brought the dead up. This is going to have maybe 500 people, 800, who knows, standing here. And the whole world going to be changed over into life immortal. See? The Spirit and the bride say, come, and so on. So what we're looking at here is, I see in this particular thing that the brother's talking about, we see Matthew, the 24th chapter, and verse 28, for wheresoever the carcass is, there the eagles will be gathered together. Brother Branham categorically said that this is the word separating the people from the churches. The message then, that you sup and commune with Jesus, with Almighty God, put it that way, who is now standing for the Son. He had to anyway. There never was any time he didn't, because God's in all things. That one that we see has vindicated his word, and he's calling out the true eagles of God by the word. They are gathered round him, and the word becomes their tie post. But over in the book of Luke, in chapter 17, I'm quoting Brother Branham now, so if you believe Brother Branham, you got to believe me, because I'm just quoting the man. I didn't make this up. One fellow in Canada thought I did. He just read it. He didn't know what Brother Branham said. over here, where does he put it here now? The day it rained brimstone, it was all over. Thus it shall be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. And that day they'll be upon the housetop, not come down, and so on, and let him not return. And whosoever seeks your life shall lose it, and he, you know, so on down the line. And then it said, two men should be taken, one in the field, and so on, one left. And then at the bottom it says, for wheresoever the body is, thither will the eagles be gathered together. Now, Brother Branham absolutely differentiated the two, and he said this was the rapture. In other words, the separation by the word was over there already in the book of Matthew. Now remember this. It isn't only the Word of God that separates the bride from the world. It is the Word of God perverted that separates the world church from the bride. There's 100% separation in Matthew 24. Now there's 100% leaving in Luke 17. Where they're gathered right under Christ. When Brother Branham said, when that spirit that's amongst us becomes incarnate to it. Now tell me what spirit became incarnate? God Almighty Himself. The Father dwelleth in me. We're going to crown Him King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. That'll be the Son of God, the Son of Man, the Son of David, the Holy Ghost, rose up here and lived in the valley, and so on. All right. Therefore, my question is such, and in my search for truth, I was wondering what your stand is on the matter. As one who personally knew Brother Branham. Doesn't mean one thing but my personal dealing with Brother Branham, because we did not discuss this. We discussed other things, but not this one. In my own personal life, as I stated earlier, I feel as though I've been saved. Good. But have been not reached the ceiling spoken of by Brother Branham. If, in fact, there has been this dispensational change, whereby we have entered in a new relationship with God the Father in a soul-to-soul context, then what are the signs, if any, that God received or sacrificed? There isn't any signs. The only sign is that you're full of the Holy Ghost because you believe the Word. Without changing any of it. That's all. There isn't any other sign. No feelings, no emotion, no nothing. How do you come to where you want to get? Piling word upon word, because the word of life, the word is the conduit of the Holy Ghost. You want more Holy Ghost, you want more word. And the more word you have that displaces the word in your mind, the more Holy Ghost you're going to have coming on right down through your being. And the more word you have in there, which is enlivened by the Holy Ghost, the more you'll see the signs amongst you that you really want. Sick being healed, everything else. God doesn't say, well, now that I brought this great sign of the prophet, there's no more healing. No way, shape, and form. Brother Branham prayed for the sick all the time. But remember, he said, it is your faith that draws it out of me. It is your faith that makes the gift work. Like I said, I can come to you people here, at least most of you, and you begin pulling on the word so strong that if I was a brass doorknob, I'd have to speak up and say something. Just use it. It's the same faith you use for healing. You got the elders or somebody praying for the sick, just use the same faith. Just pull it out. I told you I used to make Brother Branham turn around. He got used to me pulling on him. He didn't have anything for me, but I could sure pull him. Just concentrate. If I want something, yes, sir, I believe he's the man that got it, and I can have something out of here. One time he did say something about me, but that's just some little thing. When he met me at the door, that was all he needed for a lifetime and eternity. But you see, you operate these things. You actually pull them. You're the ones that make it work. We saw that in Lima when the gift of healing operated for the first time in 5 years, and the last time, as far as I know, never operated again that way. 50 miracles in 50 minutes. Why? Because they were taught to believe this man was the one that had the ability that he said he had, that God had given him. I said, God, what sign do we have? You don't need sign. The only sign is you believe the word. Now, let me just talk about this word. How many minutes we got? Oh, we got good time. We won't need all that. We're going to go to the book of Romans here. Now, Paul the Apostle has come to the Romans, who are pagans, superstitious, ignorant, anything but enlightened. Now he enlightens them. And because of the Romans' stand against the Jews, I would say this was primarily the reason that Paul had to bring in the truth of Israel in order to let these people know what was what with Israel and what was what with them, and bring it to them in the light of the sovereignty of God, who does all things. And nobody can tell him what to do, when to do it, how to do it, or not to do it. He does what he wants. Nebuchadnezzar found that out to his own hurt, and yet to his edification. Now he says here that this people Israel that had so much from God didn't respond. And the question would be then, well, hey, isn't the Word of God big enough for a response? And Paul says, not as though the Word of God had taken none effect. For they are not all Israel which are of Israel. That's what Jesus said, the bunch of serpent seed among you. Neither because they are the seed of Abraham are they the children of Abraham. But in Isaac shall thy seed be called. In other words, a pulling out from a pulling out. Right back there you see, separation. Not Abraham only now. No. It's got to come to Isaac. You can't say, well, just a minute, I came from Abraham, I mean Adam, and that's going to make me perfect seed of God. No, there's a pulling out of that too. You've got wise and foolish virgin. Separation. Now you've got serpent seed thrown in too. Now, that is they which are the children of the flesh. These are not the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted for seed. For this is the word of promise, at this time will I come and Sarah shall have a son. And not only this, but when Rebekah also had conceived by one, even our father Isaac, for the children being not yet born, neither having done any good deal, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth, it was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger. As is written, Jacob have I loved, and Esau have I hated. Now that's just a blank statement. A blank, unqualified statement from God, and he does what he wants to do. He explains it. He said, don't get alarmed. He said, there's a group within a group and a group outside. What should we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? He said, now look, God's being picky, God's being choosy. Is this fair? He said, you shut up. Don't you put one word against it. I know a dear woman years ago, when I was preaching on this years ago on election, she just went to pieces. Well, she said, I just couldn't take it. You know, the woman could not have been born again. I don't care how nice she was, and she was very lovely. There's no way. You can't turn down the word of God and say you're born again. Come on now. Even a little penguin knows its mother. It just can't come from an egg. And a calf sure knows its mammy. That's what God said. He said, the oxen knoweth its crib, and the birds of the air their path. But he said, my people don't know. Hoo-wee, you talk about a bunch. Why, he said, I bought the best land I could. I took out all the rocks, I fertilized it, and then I put in good grapes. He said, good vines, and all I'm getting is sour grapes. He said, oh man, he said, is this the way it should be? No, all Israel is not Israel. Don't talk back to God. Listen to what he tells you, and you believe it. God forbid, there's no unrighteousness with God. God is perfectly right. He's honorable, he's right. For he said to Moses, now notice, for he said to Moses, in other words, thus saith the Lord takes precedence over every single thing that you and I think we believe or don't believe. Forget it. Now that's the battle of the mind. And that's coming to sup with Jesus at the end time to reign and rule with him. Because there's going to be a group of people walk right out of here standing on their 2 feet never having died. The rest will come up. Don't worry. Now he said to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So then it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy, if he wants to show it or doesn't want to show it. For the scripture says unto Pharaoh, even for this same purpose have I raised thee up, that I might show my power in thee, and that my name might be declared throughout all the earth. Has it been? It certainly has been. Therefore hath he mercy on whom he will have mercy, and whom he will he hardeneth. Now watch. Thou wilt then say unto me. Now this is that church of Rome. Understand that when Paul got there, they'd already spread Junius and Junius. They were against the Jews. I'm pretty sure because this is in 60 A.D. They had real trouble there. That's where organization started. That's where the Catholic Church is. The whole mess. See? Thou wilt then say, why doth he yet find fault? For who hath resisted his will? Now watch how man comes back against God and attempts to pervert the scripture, which is based upon the will of God himself, which is God's own revelation of himself as to his personality, his nature, his working, and everything else. Now see, thou wilt then say unto me, why doth God find fault? Who has resisted his will? Nobody has. So we're scot-free. Now watch. Nay, but O man, who art thou that repliest against God? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why hast thou made me thus? Now you wait till the white throne, you're going to find it. Now how are you going to argue? Hath not the potter power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another to dishonor? What if God, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction, that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy which he had afore prepared unto glory? Now, did you hear what I read those last two verses? What if God, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction, that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy which he had afore prepared to glory? You hear what I read? You understand what I read? Okay, listen to it again. He does this thing. He makes this thing last out. See? What if God, willing to show his wrath, to make his power known, he endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction, that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy which he had afore prepared. Now, who is going to go through the suffering? That's us. We're going to go through the problems. Now, let's go now, and you should know where I'm going. You're well educated, but I wonder if you're going to know where I'm going. Well, I'll tell you, because I don't think you're going to get it. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. And you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty messengers and flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, that obey not the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the present Lord and from the glory of his power, when he shall have come to be admired, glorified in his saints, and be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. What am I trying to tell you? I'm trying to tell you we've come full circuit, because this is that hour that Paul is speaking of, the manifestation which comes by accepting or rejecting the revealed word, and you are in danger because it's cut and dried. It's a cut and dried gospel in the hands of God, and he does what he wants. You're apt to say, well, if that's what there is, I'm going to walk away from it. And you can get cold in your hearts because you cannot respond to the fact of the sovereignty of God. You understand what I'm saying? People say, well, I want a lot of joy. I want a lot of this. I want a lot of that. What you want is a lot of this word that says, listen, put your own thinking to one side. God's doing this. And I believe the very gospel of Paul that has been absolutely revealed to us in this time, the same pillar of fire that brought it is here revealing it. I see it. And he said right here, I'm picking who I want to pick. Yeah. Question comes up. Well, has he picked me? I've just told you 100 times, if not 1,000. I followed Brother Branham to the T. It's this message that Paul brought. And when he broke behind the curtain of time and a vision, he said, you'll be judged by what you preached. And he said, I preached what Paul preached. And they screamed, we're resting on that. You that are troubled, rest with us. He's already come down. And I want to tell you something. He's going to be glorified in his saints before he destroys the wicked, because that's why he came down. You just get thrown here by these interpolations. That's why people get thrown by the interpolation of over there in the 10th chapter of Revelation. They can't hook it with the 5th chapter, and they can't take it back to the 3rd chapter, which is the 7th church age, which is the 7th church age mystery messenger when it all runs out. And he comes in here, and he preaches a perfect predestination of cut and dry, and the people say, I can't take that. And he said, there's no such thing as a manifestation. There is no such thing as a feeling. He said, I can't take that. Well, I got news, you're going to take it, because you could have the fires of hell burning on your feet too, and you'll take that. What are you going to do about it? So, Brother Vail, that's nasty. Well, if you better cuss at Paul, then don't cuss at me. You better talk to God, because there's a message vindicated. Now, what came under the seventh seal? The seventh seal was God vindicating himself to a prophet. God vindicating the prophet to us, that we may have the word of this hour, and we're supping. And Brother Branham said, we're eating just fine, he said. Spiritual food in due season, people can't take it. Oh, you're different. You've made yourself different. Hogwash. They try to say, Lee Dale wrote the church age book. I never wrote the book. Brother Branham wanted me to write it. I wouldn't do it. He said, you could put your name on it and put all your degrees. I said, I don't have any. Except good, bad, good, mean, bad, worse and worse. Why? Because it wasn't my theology. I didn't know about the Lamb's Book of Life. I didn't know about a true baptism of the Holy Ghost. I didn't know about a proper rapture. I didn't know about the seals and these things. How could I then put my name to a book? It was his doctrine, not mine. Never had a thing to do with the doctrine. I never understood serpent seed. I knew it was there because I'd read a little excerpt here and there, but I had no idea how it had to be serpent seed. There had to be a genuine seed. No more my doctrine than nothing. Jesus himself said, this doctrine is not my own. The doctrine we're looking at today is so cut and dried it can blow you plumb out of the water into the desert and finish it. And people are leaving this message all over for this and that and the other thing. And I'll tell you what it's all about. They can't take the fact of the true sovereignty of God. It is cut and dried from before the foundation of the world. The trouble of the people of God, they can't see it that way. They cannot give. They haven't got the humility. They haven't got the humility. Satan lost his humility because he sealed up the sum of wisdom in perfection. And he's still manifesting it. And Pete, he wasn't humbled. He fell by reason of pride. And so the church falls by reason of pride. They cannot acquiesce to God's cut and dried word. How many can do it this morning? That's a toughie. They'll tell you why they're blowing up. They can't take it. They can't take it the way he gave it. They got to put their own thoughts, their own ideas, this, that, and the other thing. I've seen it, you've seen it, time after time. I brought it to your attention in the pulpit. Not that I've got all the answers, but I believe I've got a few answers. I believe I know a couple things. I sure don't know everything. I don't know like the prophet. I just do my best with it. But I want to tell you something. These seals are right, and they come right from here because he said so. Slid right in. So there it is. So does God accept us? Only if we were accepted in Christ before there was a molecule. You couldn't be in Christ unless you're in God first because he poured it into him. Well, there's a mystery there. Who cares if there's a mystery? As long as it's the truth, I don't care. If I could suddenly wave my wand, if I had one, to make parts of my car work, do you think I wouldn't wave my wand? Then let's wave the wand to God's word. Let's just believe it. That's all, just believe it. I think my air conditioner's gone to 40,000 miles in the Cadillac, and the air conditioner gone shows you what a bunch of junk General Motors puts out. Cadillac is Cavarac. Dog buggy. Got a solid body, that's all that I'm interested in. Why would it go up in 40,000? You think if I could just wave my wand? Let me tell you something. I'm talking about the Word of God. This cures everything right here. Just believe it. That's not going to cure your stupid car and your horses and things, but it's going to take care of them down the road because it's going to take care of you and put you where you should be. Cut and dried, you bet. It's all been lined up. It was written before the foundation of the world. It's being brought in right now. People don't want that. No. Our church, who cares about your church? Bap. I'd like to see this place burn down as soon as you get out of here. Put your trust in the living God. He says here, this being the case. No, he said now there's a communication, which is outlined in Romans the 8th chapter. Now, somebody's talking about something I don't know anything about here. He said, here, for we have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but we see the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father. That's true. We recognize the presence of Almighty God in understanding. In faith, we have that revelation. We know what we're talking about. Thou art the Christ and so on. Brother Branham showed us. That's true. And this is where the adoption is. But I want to tell you, the fullness of the adoption comes into in the manifestation in the first resurrection, in the resurrection. So don't put too much on this. Just understand this. Because God qualified us, we are thoroughly qualified for whatever and anything comes. But you have got to use your act of faith, the same as anybody else, in order to receive some of the promises of God, such as healing and provision and those things that are found in the Word. You've got to use it. But we do cry, Our Father, because we know who our Father is. Christ is in the midst of the church, and by His grace, we sing praises unto Almighty God through Him. I don't take this verse where some people put it. They're trying to put something special on this. There is something special there. This is the hour of adoption, that's true, but it goes right into the resurrection, under the seventh seal. I just leave it be. And I'll tell you another reason I leave it be, and that is this. There are many people right today under they're false, but they're correctly anointed, but not to the word. They're getting thousands of more answers to prayers than we are. But if you're talking about a real distinct fellowship, that's right. In this hour, we are the only ones who have the genuine baptism with the Holy Ghost. We are the only ones that are truly sealed in as a unit of the church to Almighty God. And we have our fellowship with Him. And we can cry our Father because we know who our Father is. And Brother Branham categorically stated concerning the mule, he said he doesn't know his pappy and mammy, or he doesn't have a pedigree. He said we are the horses of God, so to speak. We have the pedigree. And so there's what you're looking at more than anything else. This being the case, Brother Brand's already saying by receiving the Spirit, in lieu of God acknowledging and sealing His elected son and daughter, change in regard. No, there's no changing. If you're not full of the Holy Ghost, if you're not been baptized with the Holy Spirit, you're not a part of His. You've got to be in the church. The only way to get in the church is through Jesus Christ, water, baptism with the Holy Ghost, because that's what it is. And if so, what are the signs and manifestations of the course of salvation on the spiritual proofs? The spiritual proofs, that terminology is fine, but I don't even use it. The fact is that God Himself came down. He is here in the form of the Holy Spirit. He is here. The same pillar of fire is leading us to the millennium. The same Spirit is going to be reincarnated in Jesus Christ. He's going to take us up there, count Him King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I don't go beyond that. I'm not interested in connotations. I'm interested only in what Brother Branham said. And some of what he says here, I cannot see as distinctly related to Brother Branham, what he said. I see it related to what people teach about what Brother Branham said. I don't teach it that way. I'm sorry. Now, it's either is or it isn't. No halfway house. I'm not part of a son of God. I'm all a son of God. This body, 100% of God, going to come back in the resurrection to prove it. See, so all right, I've done my best to answer his question, taking a lot of time. We'll have to send him a tape. Okay, let's rise and be dismissed. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank You again for Your kindness to us in that You have taken us into Your Word, Lord, and we believe that we have seen different things in here that are good for us to see, how that these things have been worked out according to what Brother Branham said and what we ourselves have seen as those things that are after the fact. And Lord, we know that as much as we have seen things, as Brother Branham said, just once would be enough to turn a whole nation to God. America has seen it hundreds of times, if not thousands, and doesn't believe it. We recognize the fact that blessed are those who have not seen and still believe. They have the record, and they know that the record is true because it lines absolutely with the Scripture, and there is an answer in their hearts that this indeed is the Word of God, the Word of life. And so we appreciate that, Father, and we thank You for the opportunity You've given us that we believe to be a part of it. As Brother Branham himself said, in that deal, know that I am in the Father, and You in Me, and I in You. And that was this hour at this very time, even as it shall be again, as it was once at the day of Pentecost, looking forward to the great white throne. Seeing within it, then, there is a progression. And Lord God, we realize that there's a progression all the way, and we realize men have never lived up to Your progression. Men have never taken it, but only the very elect have seen it. And as we see this great progression, the God Himself creating Himself in the form of human flesh, coming right up to the end and seeing the great plan of the fatherhood, all the sons gathered around the only begotten Son, to see the culmination, the new Jerusalem, the new heavens and the new earth, to know that it's going on right now, this is starting, is speeding up until reaching to the millennium. It's just like overnight. Oh, yes, more and more and more into the realm of the completeness of not only what You have produced Yourself, Lord, but as it were into Your own spirit, as it were vibrations. We've come to the high level of the negative now to the positive, more and more and more, as the prophet said, sanctification ever going on. We appreciate that, Lord, and we take comfort today though we haven't arrived down where we want to arrive, we're going to arise. But it takes this process. Help us to stand with Your word as Paul brought it at that time, and now it's brought right at this very time again. Who are you, a man, to reply against God? Oh, Lord, they have done it in this hour. And we know it is true. They've turned their back upon it, relegated the word of life to the things of the enemy, Lord. And now the tares and the wheat are in full harvest. And Brother Branham said the combines are coming. The flashing red lights of judgment are here. I indict this generation. All of these things, Lord, are right here in our midst, and we know them to be true, that you are here in your judgment and yet in your vindication for Brian. And Lord, whatever you say is right. We know that one day, if we don't believe it in our hearts and actually testify it here now, one day we're going to be forced to. And Lord, I don't want to be forced to anything. No, I don't, nor do the people here. Because you said, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me, and I lead them into green pastures. Oh, it's a blessed harmony, Lord, of the dove leading the lambs. Not a driven force and a driven factor. But, Lord, it's you in all your graces. Help us to receive it this morning. God, help us to receive it in spirit and in truth, which it indeed is and has been revealed to us. Until there's no way we have any other thoughts but those thoughts which are of you and in the proper spirit of it all. And we'll give you the praise in Jesus' name because you're worthy.